إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, seek His aid and ask His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil which is in ourselves. And we seek refuge in Allah from our evil actions. من يهده الله فلا مضل له. Whoever Allah guides, there is none who can misguide him. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ. And whoever Allah causes to be misguided, there is none who can guide him. أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. I bear witness, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He is alone and He has no partners. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. I also bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the worshipper of Allah and His final messenger. Amma ba'd fa inna khayr al-hadith kitabullah. Thereafter the best speech is the book of Allah. Wa khayr al-huda huda an-nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the best guidance is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Wa inna sharr al-umuri muhdathatuha. And the most evil affairs are those matters which people have introduced and innovated into Islam. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. Verily, every innovation is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance, and every misguidance leads to the fire. عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. Allah subhanahu, He created two abodes, or two worlds, the abode of this dunya and the abode of the akhirah. And the abode of this dunya, it is temporary and short. And as for the akhirah, the hereafter, hum fiha khalidun, people will remain in it for eternity. So this dunya and the life in this dunya, it is short. All it is a number of small days. And then after these days, after these short days, we will go to the eternal life, the life after the hereafter, the life after the dunya, in the akhirah. And after that day, there will be no other death. And Allah subhanahu, He has placed us upon this earth to test us and to examine us, to see which abode are we deserving. So the one who obeys Allah in this life and passes the test, for him is Jannah. And the one who disobeys Allah and His Messenger in this life and fails the test, for him is the Akhirah. فَوَرَبِّكَ لَنَسْأَلَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Verily, by your Lord, we will question them all. عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Regarding that which they used to do, i.e. in this dunya. So Allah subhanahu, He showed us good and evil. And He showed us the path of righteousness. And He showed us the path of disobedience. And Allah placed in front of us desires. And then Allah gave us intellects and the ability to think. And He gave us the ability to choose. And He gave us a free will. And He gave us skills. So we make a choice. So the one who wants to do goodness and traverse the path of guidance, here is the path. And you have the ability. So follow it. And there is no punishment upon you today. There is no accountability for you today. And whoever wants goodness and wants to follow the path of obedience, then here it is. And you have skills, and you have a choice, and you have an ability. So follow it. And there may not be any reward for you today. However, after today, there is a tomorrow. And tomorrow there will be hisab, accountability. And tomorrow there will be reward and punishment. And for this reason, Allah tells us to prepare for tomorrow. Today, prepare for tomorrow. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah. O people of Iman, fear Allah. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. And let each person look to what he is putting forth for tomorrow. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. So whoever does the smallest amount of goodness, i.e. in this dunya, he will see it, i.e. in the akhirah. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرٌ. And whoever does the smallest amount of evil, i.e. in this dunya, yara, he will see it, i.e. he will see it in the hereafter. Ibadallah, ikhwat al-iman. And before this dunya comes to an end, the hour will be established, yawm al-qiyamah, the promised day. And before the coming of yawm al-qiyamah, there are signs and indicators. And these are known as the signs of yawm al-qiyamah. And one of the signs of yawm al-qiyamah which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned is how he described the appearance of certain women. Towards yawm al-qiyamah, towards the end of the times, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he described the situation of the women at that time. And he said, nisa'un, women, kasiyatun ariyat. They will be clothed and yet they will be naked. Ma'ilatun mumilat. And they will be enticed and they will entice others. La yadkhulna al-jannah. And those women will never enter into Jannah. Wa la yajidna rihaha. And never will those women smell the fragrance of Jannah. So contemplate, may Allah bless us and bless you, how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam so precisely described the situation of those women. He said, kasiyatun ariyat, that they will be clothed, they will be wearing garments and clothing, but at the same time, ariyat, they will be naked. Meaning the clothing which they wear will be very tight, exposing, see-through. And therefore, even though they will be clothed, it's as if they are naked. There will be no benefit behind that clothing. And then he said, ma'ilatun mumilat. And they will be enticed by others, by other women. Women influencing other women and enticing other women. And also they will entice people and entice men. Meaning these types of women, no haya, no shame, no modesty. A piece of merchandise in the hand of men to be used for marketing, for selling and for buying. If they want to sell a car, they use a woman to sell a car. If they want to sell a sofa, a woman is displayed to sell the sofa. If they want to sell a newspaper or somebody to give the news, they'll use a woman in this state. Ma'ilat mumilat. Enticed, used, and enticing others. And then he said, لَا يَدْخُلْنَا الْجَنَّةِ. Those women, they will not enter into Jannah. وَلَا يَجِدْنَا رِيحَهَا. And never will they smell the fragrance of Jannah. Even though the fragrance of Jannah, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, will be smelt from a distance of 500 years away from Jannah. This much distance. Yet these women will not even smell the fragrance of Jannah. Ibadallah, ikhwat al-iman. This state, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam described, of women towards the end of times, this is the time we are living in. And every person sees around him and around her the situation of the women and how they dress. A time of kasiyatun ariyat, clothed women, and yet they are naked. And when we find ourselves in this time, then upon the woman who is a Muslim, a mu'mina, who believes in Allah on the final day, is that she is diligent upon her hijab. And she remembers how Allah has honored her. So Allah has honored her through Islam and through the hijab and opened every avenue of happiness for her and protected her chastity and protected her honor. And that is through the hijab. In a time of kasiyatun ariyat, clothed naked women, the Muslim woman, should remain pure and noble and honored through her hijab, and not lowly like the other women who are around her. In a time of kasiyatun ariyat, clothed yet naked women, the woman, the Muslim woman, the believing woman, is known by her covering and her concealing and her modesty and her refined manners and how elevated and noble she is. And the Muslim woman, the believing woman, in a time of kasiyatun ariyat, clothed naked women, she will only remain honored and ennobled if she holds on to her religion and she obeys her Lord and she follows the teaching of her Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Allah said in the Quran, addressing the believing Muslim woman, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ, and remain in your houses, وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى, and do not expose yourself and do not display yourself and display your beauty like the women of the first Jahiliyyah used to do. So this ayah, it shows us the asal with regards to the Muslim woman. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ, remain in your houses. So the Muslim woman, she's permitted to leave the house if there's a need and a necessity. The needs and the necessities of daily life, when she may need to leave the house, it's permitted. But the asal is that she remains in her house. So think, subhanAllah, that the most beloved place to Allah upon the earth is the masjid. And it isn't allowed for a man to prevent a woman from going to the masjid. But at the same time, the reward of a woman praying salah in her house is more beloved to Allah and more rewarding than her praying in the masjid. So if this is the situation with regards to the best place on the earth, the most beloved place to Allah, that it is still better for the woman to pray salah in her house, then how about women going to the coffee shops and the restaurants and the amusement parks and the centers on their own amongst each other just to socialize, just to mix? And then Allah said, وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى, and do not expose yourself and display your beauty like the women of Jahiliyyah used to do, the first Jahiliyyah, before the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the women would go out to the places of gathering and there would be no segregation between them and between the men. And how they spoke to the men, there was no etiquette in speaking to the men and how the men spoke to them. And in what they wore, they would expose themselves and expose some of their beauty. They would expose some of their beauty. And yet nowadays, amongst the Muslim sisters, may Allah guide them and may Allah guide us, are those who are going out exposing more than even the women of Jahiliyyah used to do. And they claim this is the hijab. So this is the first command of Allah. And then Allah said, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, and say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to the believing women, يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنْ, that they should lower their sight, وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنْ, and they should guard their private parts, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنْ, and they should not display their beauty. They should not expose their beauty in front of the people. So this is how a Muslim woman should leave the house if she needs to leave the house. Lowering her gaze and protecting her modesty and her privacy and not exposing her beauty to the people and not exposing her adornments to the people. And these rulings regarding the hijab for the women, and also the rulings that relate to the men, why has Allah legislated them? Does Allah benefit anything from a woman wearing a hijab? Kalla. And is Allah harmed by a woman not wearing the hijab? Never. So who benefits from the hijab? Women and society. And who benefits from abiding to the religion? Us. We benefit and we harm ourselves. And for this reason, when Allah mentioned the ayat of hijab, Allah said, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُنَّ مَتَاعًا, and when you have a request to ask them, فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَائِ حِجَابِ. Ask them from behind the veil, from behind the hijab. And then Allah said, ذَلِكُمْ أَطْهَرُ لِقُلُوبِكُمْ وَلِقُلُوبِهِنْ. And that is better for your hearts, more pure for your hearts, O men, وَقُلُوبِهِنْ, and better and more pure for their hearts. So the point behind this ayah is that Allah ordered us, or ordered the women with hijab, and ordered the men also with the correct etiquettes, not for the benefit of Allah, but for our own benefit. So when hijab is removed, and the men and women don't know the etiquettes of going out and dealing with each other, first it leads to the corruption of their own hearts, and then each other's hearts, and then the corruption of society. And if you want to know the harms of women, men and women, going out and not knowing the etiquettes of going out in how they dress and how they talk and how they interact, then look at the society which you live in. This society in which there are more rights for women as it is claimed, and there's more equality for women as it is claimed. A society in which more women are working, and they have more authority, more status, more wealth, more affluency, bigger houses, better cars, everything which they want. Yes, do we see women, even non-Muslim women, living in a society in which they are comfortable and tranquil and at peace? The statistics say otherwise. One in every four women will seek treatment for depression at any one time. One in four women at any one time seeking cure for depression. And women are twice as likely to experience a type of anxiety disorder than men. And all of you heard of the Me Too movement only last year, in which the most wealthiest women, the most powerful women, hundreds and hundreds amongst them, the celebrities and the actresses and the musicians and the singers, all of them were coming out one after the other, claiming that they have been abused by perverse men and touched by perverse men. And also, the statistics, 20% of women will experience some type of sexual assault since the age of 16. And these sexual assaults which are occurring, are they occurring by these predators, these criminals? No. Statistics show that 90% of these cases are actually men that she knows, those who are around her, from her friends and colleagues and family members. This is where it is occurring. And on top of this, eating disorders, self-harm, suicide, depression, anxieties, emotional problems, mental problems. And don't even talk about family problems and divorce rates and breaking of the family structure and breaking of the family ties and disrespect between the father and the mother and the children. And don't even talk about the sins and the fahisha and the immorality and the lack of manners and morals amongst the men and women, amongst society. So all of this is due to going against the command of Allah. Men and women not knowing the etiquettes of how to dress and how to talk to each other and how to interact with each other. Ibadallah, ikhwat al-Iman, from the most severe fitan today is how the standards of hijab have also changed, and how people are trying to redefine hijab. And those women on the internet, on YouTube and social media, who are enticing women and influencing young sisters to dress this way and wear this type of hijab with this color and this fashion. Subhanallah, how much blame will they bear on Yawm al-Qiyamah? How many sins will they have on their scales on Yawm al-Qiyamah? How many young girls have they misguided away from the correct hijab? So the hijab, the meaning of hijab is a sitr, is to hide and conceal, wa taghtiyah, and to cover. The definition and the objective of the hijab is not to expose and show and magnify a woman's beauty. So the hijab hides a woman's beauty. This is the whole point and the objective behind the hijab. The hijab doesn't expose and beautify a woman in front of the others. The hijab is not there to attract men to women. The hijab is there to repel the gazes of men towards women. Otherwise, this hijab, which many women are wearing, this is something from the plots of shaitan. Beautified it in the hearts and minds of these, of such women. So hijab is not a clothing which attracts the gaze of the people. This is not hijab. And hijab is not what magnifies the beauty of a woman. And hijab is not that which shows and exposes the outline of the body of the woman. And hijab is not wearing a headscarf and then wearing jeans or wearing trousers or wearing shirts or skirts. This is not hijab. The hijab which Allah ordered with and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered with has certain conditions. So from the conditions of the Islamic hijab which Allah loves is firstly that it covers all the body. From the head to the feet, all the body has to be covered. And the only difference amongst the ulama is regarding the face and the hands. And the least we can say that this is recommended. This is the least. Is it an obligation for the woman to cover the face and the hand? This is where there is a difference in opinion amongst the fuqaha. And also from the conditions of the Islamic hijab, which Allah loves, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered with, that it should be wide, and it shouldn't be tight, and it shouldn't show the outline of the body. And also that the cloth should be coarse and thick, and not something which is very light and flimsy. And also from the conditions of the hijab which Allah loves and the Prophet ordered with, is that this hijab in of itself isn't a form of beautification, like different types of colored hijab and different fashions and different models. So it isn't an obligation that a woman has to wear a black hijab or jilbab. This isn't an obligation. Women can wear hijabs and jilbabs which are a different color. But it shouldn't be a color which attracts and beautifies herself in front of the people. Also, from the conditions of wearing the Islamic hijab which Allah loves and the Prophet ordered with, they should not be perfumed with fragrance which is going to entice the men. And also that the clothing of the women doesn't resemble the clothing of men. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَعْنَ الْمُتَشَبِّهَاتِ بِالرِّجَالِ, he cursed those women who seek to resemble men. وَلَعْنَ الْمُتَشَبِّهِينَ بِالنِّسَاءِ, and he cursed those men who seek to resemble women. So these are the conditions of the hijab which Allah loves, not the hijab which society wants. And so the woman, the Muslim woman, the one who is honored in a society and a time of kasiyatun ariyat, clothed naked women, the hijab which is upon her is not the hijab of YouTube, not the hijab of Instagram, the hijab of the Quran and the Sunnah, that which Allah and His Messenger ordered with. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله عباد الله إخوة الإيمان. We're living in a time in which there is less knowledge and more ignorance. In a time in which the ulama and the fuqaha are few, and the speakers and the storytellers are many. A time in which there is less iman and less haya, and there is more hypocrisy, and there is more fahisha. A time in which there is less masculinity amongst the males, and less femininity amongst the females. And in this type of time, in a time of kasiyatun ariyat, clothed naked women, the Muslim woman and the Muslim man should remain patient upon their religion and hold on firm to their religion and look to the pleasure of Allah. What will Allah be happy with? Not what will my family be happy with, or my friends or society. And a woman should guard her hijab and guard her honor and her nobility. And as a Muslim woman, don't look at how corrupt society has become, but you be the righteous one. And you be the one who will rectify society. And subhanallah, how much of a shame is it if we look around us regarding how many women could we say that they are wearing the Islamic hijab, the Islamic jilbab? Very few. Even amongst the practicing women, inverted commas. Very few can we say that they are wearing the hijab which Allah wants and His Messenger wants. And so if you are from those few, those rare sisters who is wearing the hijab and the jilbab which Allah is pleased with, then don't be disheartened because you are alone. Rather, this is an honor for you. Because the Prophet ﷺ told us, "Bada al-Islamu ghariba," that Islam, it began with being strange. It was strange and lonely. وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا, and it will go back to a time in which the Muslim man, the Muslim women, the Muslim woman who abides by her hijab and by her religion will be gharib, lonely and strange, rare amongst the people. But then the Prophet ﷺ said, فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى, that the glad tiding and the road is for those few, those rare people. And who are those few? The Sahaba asked the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, wa man al-ghuraba?" O Messenger of Allah, who are the ghuraba? Who are those few lonely strangers, those rare people? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, "Alladhina yuslihuna idha fasada an-nas." They are those people, when everybody else is corrupt, when society around them is corrupt, they rectify and they remain righteous. And in one narration, "Alladhina yuslihuna ma afsada an-nas ba'di min sunnati." They are those people who rectify that which others have corrupted from my sunnah. So we find some women who have corrupted the meaning of hijab. The woman who is from the ghuraba, she remains firm and diligent upon the hijab which Allah is pleased with. And also in one narration the Prophet said, قَوْمٌ صَالِحُونَ, that the ghuraba are those people who are righteous. قَلِيلٌ, and they are a few in number. Fi unasin su'in kathir, amongst people upon evil who are many. Man ya'asihim akthar mimman yuti'uhum, those who disobey these people, reject these people, abandon these people, will be more than those who follow these people and accept these people. And also remember the great reward of holding on to the religion of Allah during the end of times. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he spoke about a time which will come. He said, "Inna min waraikum ayyam as-sabr," that after you there will be days of patience. Al-mutamassiku fiha ala dinihi, the one who holds on firm to his religion, kal-qabid ala al-jamara, is like the one trying to hold on to hot coals. There will come a time you have to be patient. In that time, a person tries to hold on to the religion. The woman who tries to wear her hijab will be like a person trying to hold on to hot coals. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لِلْعَامِلِ فِيهَا أَجْرُ خَمْسِينَ, but the reward of such a person is like the reward of 50 people. This single person holding on to the religion of Allah, this single woman wearing the correct hijab in a society which is corrupt, will be one person like the reward of 50 people. The companion said, "Ya Rasulullah, Messenger Allah, our khamsuna minhum or minna," 50 people from them or 50 people from us. Meaning, this reward that the person will have of 50 people. Are you talking about 50 people from the end of times? Or are you saying that this person holds on to the religion of Allah will have the reward of 50 sahaba? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Bal khamsina minkum," rather 50 of you. So the person who holds on to the religion of Allah and the woman who abides by her hijab which Allah loves in this time, in this society, the society of Kasiyatun Ariyat, has the reward of 50 sahaba. And this hadith, it is sahih. Al-Albani and others considered it to be sahih. And in one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ajra khamsina shahida," that this person will have the reward of 50 shuhada. 50 shuhada. And then the companions asked, "Ya Rasulullah, the shuhada of that time or the shuhada of our time, the sahaba?" And the Prophet said, "Khamsina minkum," 50 shuhada amongst the sahaba. And this hadith narrated by Anas ibn Malik and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and others, and authenticated by the ulama. So before a woman leaves her house, she should think that this hijab which I'm wearing, is this the hijab which pleases Allah? Or does it anger Allah? Me leaving the house, is this leaving that which pleases Allah or angers Allah? And do not think that the hijab is merely the headscarf.
And then there are trousers and skirts and shirts. This is not the hijab. Not the hijab which Allah loves and His Messenger loves. And the Prophet ﷺ, he used to often mention his brothers and sisters. The Prophet ﷺ, he used to talk about his brothers and sisters. In the hadith in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَدِدْتُ أَنِّي قَدْ رَأَيْتُ إِخْوَانِي. He said, I wish and I love if I could see my brothers. And the companion said, Ya Rasulullah, أَوَلَسْنَا إِخْوَانُكَ. He said, Oh Messenger of Allah, are we not your brothers? As companions, are we not your brothers? And the Prophet said, أَنْتُمْ أَصْحَابِي. You are my companions. وَإِخْوَانُنَا أَلَّذِي لَمْ يَأْتِي بَعْدَنَا. And my brothers are those who have not yet come. Many Muslims who didn't meet the Prophet ﷺ. They came at the later times. But they came after the Prophet had passed away. But they were diligent upon his sunnah. Diligent upon his religion. The Prophet ﷺ called these people his brothers and sisters. So you, O Muslim male, you be the brother of the Prophet ﷺ. And you, O Muslim sister, be the sister of the Prophet ﷺ. Those who the Prophet didn't see, and he wanted to see them and meet them, but they are diligent upon his religion. اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم ارض عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن سائر الصحابة الأجمعين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعزنا بالإسلام والدين اللهم أذل الشرك والمشركين اللهم انصر دينك وكتابك وسنة نبيك وعبادك الصالحين اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها مولاها اللهم أصلح ذات بيننا وألف بين قلوبنا واهدنا سبل السلام وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم وأقم الصلاة